This is a Steam Studio production.
Welcome to the Steam Spotlight, where we celebrate the inspiring achievements of students, educators, and community partners making waves in the Steam field.
For this special episode of the Steam Studio Spotlight, we are pulling back the curtain on Idea Palooza, a dynamic collaboration where brilliant concepts meet the path to execution. We're joined by two of the minds behind creating this awesome event, Dr. Nick Pullman, a professor of mechanical engineering who helps students develop their ideas, and Becca Huzar, associate director of innovation and partnership development from the College of Business, who guides them in turning those ideas into entrepreneurial opportunities. Together, they are breaking down silos to equip the next generation of innovators.
Welcome to the Steam Studio. We're really excited about this episode today. We have two of our very fun friends with us, Becca and Nick. Hi, Becca and Nick.
Hi there.
Hello.
So we are really excited to talk about some of the projects you guys have got going on together and the initiatives. But first, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
So I'm going to take this opportunity to say that I get to work with my good friend Becca Huzar from the College of Business. She is in charge of the De La Vega Innovation Laboratory, who helps to integrate how do we take great ideas and turn them into entrepreneurial opportunities. I get the benefit of being a professor of mechanical engineering, and I have students that have ideas, but they need help. And that's where Becca comes in.
I love that.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm really lucky I get to work with Nick, because it's not often that you find yourself connecting with a fully tenured professor that has the energy and the vision to want to go beyond the everyday expectations. So it's through this connection and introduction to Nick that I've really been able to amplify the work I'm doing in the De La Vega lab to increase the employability of our students. And again, that all stems from this man to my left here, who is also a presidential professor of mechanical engineering.
Awesome. Well, thank you both. We're excited to have you and talk about just all the great stuff. So I know the reason we have both of you here today is because you've got this great collaboration. And so talk a little bit about Idea Palooza and what this is, what your goals are. It's just also a great name. So what is Idea Palooza?
Becca started with the name, so I'm going to let her go first.
Okay. So, I mean, really it's about we want our students to, when they have an initial idea, be equipped and empowered to take the next steps towards commercializing, or even if we don't want to use the word commercializing, we want them to feel like they can make a tangible impact in their community or their industry. And so that's why it really worked well connecting the technical discipline of mechanical engineering with the College of Business, specifically innovation and entrepreneurship, to kind of make sure that those students are getting an experience their senior year where they're applying their senior design capstone project in, which is with real companies and project sponsors. And so we just want to make sure that they're getting a well-rounded experience in not just the technical solution, but also how are you engaging with your sponsor? Are you aware of how your idea fits in the context of the broader budget? Do you know how to pitch your idea to a variety of stakeholders? All that good stuff. And the name, ChatGPT.
Well, but even if the name came from ChatGPT, GPT, the intention was what you just talked about, is that the engineers that you train can have what I'll call a myopic view of what their discipline is. I solve the technical problem, I answer the technical problem, I hand it to someone else, and it's no longer my problem. And what we're trying to help them understand, that the things you do have connection. And sure, engineering is supposed to be about systems, but often we forget about the business systems that they're associated with. Am I building this thing with a product in mind, with a solution to a process in mind? And who do I have to convince to make it happen. And often that convincing is not a technical manager, but a non-technical manager. And we need to be able to communicate with the business folks immediately upon their practice. And probably the biggest irony is that most of our alumni came back and I said, I wish we could have had, and lo and behold, it's this. It's mm-hmm. the opportunity yeah. to pitch and to form what is the plan from beginning to end in terms of time and effort and costs.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about like what do the teams look like? How do the students pick their projects? Like what's all the logistics? Like you've done this one year. So
we're entering year number three of this.
Oh, crazy. Awesome.
So a capstone senior design program is not unique to NIU. Right. Those exist across the entire disciplines. NIU, at least in mechanical engineering, I tend to let it be a bit organic. And so it's literally a discussion board with project ideas. Sometimes they are company sponsored, as Becca mentioned. Sometimes they're student initiated. Sometimes they're the faculty being like, hey, this is a cool back burner project. Mm-hmm. I'd love some personnel time on. I let the students kind of form organically around it. And so sometimes an idea will draw multiple students to it, like moths to a flame. Other times it's, you know, three students that like to work together and they say, oh, that seems interesting and kind of pivot in that direction. So that's the organic way that we tend to let the students coalesce around a project. But we don't tell them that there's any sort of product at the end of it or deliverable or those sorts of things. We save the kind of information from the idea palooza to be released as part of the curriculum.
Yes. So when does that come in?
Yeah, it gets going pretty quickly. So something that has evolved, and last year is the first year we kind of really fully integrated this. We started having the engineering students, so that class of what, like 80 plus students, walk over field trip about once a month it became.
Yes.
Over to the College of Business. So we packed the De La Vega Innovation Lab. And then we kind of create a series of workshops or speakers for them where they're getting a mixture of tangible workshops where they're filling out a business model canvas, learning about value proposition statements, learning how to pitch. But we also like to bring in alumni who can share their stories, who may have started technical and then became an entrepreneur or a leader in their industry, and just reinforcing to them why these leadership skills that they're learning under the umbrella term entrepreneurship are so critical to their long-term career trajectory. So,
and so I want to piggyback on that kind of improvement here on year number three of it. One of the reasons that Ideapalooza was the name is if you think of Lollapalooza, right? You're there all day in terms of learning. And so the initial intention was to bring students over and let them learn all day as part of the De La Vega Innovation Center. It's exhausting.
Mm-hmm. And that's a lot.
Yes, we tried it. It was a lot.
And unlike, you know, Lollapalooza, they can end their day with a headliner, and so people can pace themselves through the day. We found that it went in the opposite direction. The students were all very, very excited to be in Barsima.
Yeah.
But then that energy tailed off, and so we had to figure out how are we going to do this with some multiple touch points. And so that's mm-hmm. where the you know, once a month contact is going to take place.
Yep.
So instead of a day long event, the students are recognizing, oh, it's one of those opportunities to put on my different, they're still engineers, but put on my different understanding of what I'm mm-hmm. receiving.
And I mean, we do still kind of have that big culmination event. And that's what's really exciting and where I saw the biggest impact in going to the demo day is we bring all those engineering students over and we split them up into classrooms across Barsima Hall. And we throw in College of Business students. And we say, okay, we're role-playing demo day. The College of Business students are going to take on different stakeholder personas. So I'm a grandparent visiting demo day. I'm an industry professional. I'm an alum. I'm a professor from a different college on campus. And can those engineering students practice, rehearse their presentations to College of Business students who are then providing instant feedback what, a week or 2 weeks before demo day?
So about 2 weeks before.
Pretty fresh before they have to do the real thing.
And basically you have to get the project, you know, to its culmination point in order to have an effective piece to talk about. but that kind of bang-bang elements. And you know, we can talk about elevator pitches as a theoretical concept all the time. So if you were stuck with this person for 90 seconds, how would you engage them? And ironically, one of the best kind of learning outcomes that happened last year is that we brought the engineering students over to Barsema, and we indicated how this is going to be formatted, and these people are going to introduce themselves, and they're going to tell you what perspective they're coming with. And one of my engineers raised their hand and said, so could we have like 3 to 4 minutes to figure out what we're going to do? And it was just, it was inspiring to say, that work should have been done, because there's going to be these moments that you need to be at the ready. And mm-hmm. I think engineers that want to plan so much, mm-hmm. Either if they haven't planned for that outcome, or maybe a fearfulness, it was probably more of what they were looking for, is fearfulness of being judged.
I would almost, okay, so yes to part of that, but I think a lot of them just assumed that being technically advanced would get them where they needed to be. Mm-hmm. Like they mm-hmm. had not been exposed to the idea that you are going to have to get buy-in from people besides other engineers in order to succeed. And so it was kind of like a splash of water in the face type mm-hmm. experience. In addition to some of them, I think it was like a fear of public speaking thing.
Well, very much a fear of public speaking if we want to talk about, you know, personalities of engineers.
Exactly. We know that is one of the things we hear about. And mm-hmm. that's what I think is really interesting, is because you hear, like, we know engineering students, a lot of them know their stuff technically, but this has always been one of those areas, this ability to communicate, to work with others outside of the field, and to help them understand what the solution is in a way that is well communicated. And it sounds like this is a really great, fun way to do that.
Yeah.
Well, and fun is the important part. It's so much of getting your degree is checking the boxes mm-hmm. Of the learning objectives and whatnot. And I'll admit, we don't have enough longevity with this particular project, but my outcomes of learning outcomes from other courses often have been the alum 3, 4, 5 years later that says, I hated you at the moment. Sorry. I didn't understand why we were doing that at the moment, but now I wish we would have embedded more of those sorts of features of technical communications mm-hmm. and written communications, because that's what most of my job is. It's not writing right. down yep. paper and pencil and calculator.
Right. That you don't know that till you get out into the field, you're put on that first project team, and you're like, oh my goodness, I am not sitting here with a bunch of my engineering peers. I've got mm-hmm. this guy from sales and this person over here who's, you know, dealing with customer service. And yep. how do we get this done in a way that we're all happy with the approach? And that is a learned skill. That is not something you leave from college knowing yeah. unless you have these kinds of experiences.
Definitely. And I think Nick had his alumni coming back to kind of reinforce that. For me, when I went to the senior design demo day that first year we did Ideapalooza, so 2 years ago, I walked around all the corporate sponsors that were tabling and I said, hey, what skills do you wish that these graduates were, or these students were graduating with? And they all said communication skills, mm-hmm. collaboration, project management. None of them thought that the NIU engineering degrees needed more technical support, which kudos to you, Nick. They're doing great on the technical side, but they all said, yeah, we would love to recruit more well-rounded mm-hmm. students.
And I think some universities can give short shrift or at least token kind of, well, we do this too. And the benefit of Ideapalooza is, I mean, we have the pictures. We have mm-hmm. the videos of the students doing that experience. And I can't remember what our data say in terms of surveys, but I mean, we're particularly asking the students, how was your rehearsed pitch? Mm-hmm. Did you feel like it improved upon the third or fourth try in the practice of the business folks? And I often use sports analogies. You don't walk in and be able to shoot a basket. You have to shoot hundreds of thousands mm-hmm, of free mm-hmm. throws in order to do that thing effectively. And too often students think that the first draft is a sufficient draft, is a submitted draft. That was a great opportunity for them to recognize the first time that I say this, oof.
Yeah.
The second time I needed to correct this other thing. and fixing those elements without just thinking, I'll trust my slides to make it work.
Yeah. And I mean, anecdotally, walking around this past spring, the pitches were just at a different level than the years before. So it was cool for me to see. Obviously, they recognized me, but I mean, pressure. I was like, okay, give me your pitch. And so they all said, who are you? Who are you being? Are you being an alum? And I'm like, no, I'm being myself. Give me your pitch.
First, give me your persona. Where is your mind at right now?
Yeah. But I mean, for those that have been to the showcase that the College of Engineering Technology puts on, I mean, STEMFest has a role there. You have junior high students that mm-hmm. are amazed at the gee whiz, the things that lights up, the mm-hmm. things that scurry around and whatnot. But there's a wealth of technical stuff that might happen in either a dynamic display on somebody's screen or a technical analysis, trying to get those students to understand you might like to work with your hands, but you might also like to sit in front of a computer most of the time. Even when you sit in front of the computer, you're still going to need these skills because mm-hmm. as pretty as that rainbow is from your finite element analysis or computational fluid dynamics, the person who is not a technical one and looks at the rainbow and says, sure, why is that the answer?
What's this mean? Mm-hmm. What's the price to fix it or to implement the solution? Mm-hmm. And why do I care?
Yes. Yep. Exactly. I think that so then to kind of like soft launch where Ideapalooza is going is all of these traits, skills are things that could apply to any technical major. Not even if we could consider in technical, the visual and performing arts to mm-hmm. communication. Mm-hmm. So we'd really like to expand Ideapalooza as some sort of program where we're offering that interdisciplinary approach to the practice these students are developing, right? So you're not just going in, coming from the music background, it's always like you can be a great musician, but you have to know the business side of the music business if you want to succeed, right? So like just having that approach to any of these fields.
And I think one of the things that we put together as part of the NIU Trek Talks for Ideapalooza is saying, let's not limit it to this course that is discipline specific. Do we throw our doors open wide in order to invite the musicians, the visual and performing arts, the person in computer science that has this newfangled idea on an app or a program of some sort? How could they come in? The only challenge is De La Vega Lab literally has a physical footprint in it. And when I bring 80 students from mechanical engineering, they are cheek to jowl next mm-hmm. to one another. Yeah. And so how do we, the question that Becca and I have in terms of taking it further, do we repeat elsewhere? Do we go someplace else that gives us a bit bigger space so that those other non-technical engineers can come in? But then how do the speakers integrate and know, again, the diverse audience to whom they'd be speaking?
Yeah, that's always the challenge when you've got a cool program like this is scale. Mm-hmm. You want more students to have this experience. You want to, you know, really implement it far and wide, but you've got those limitations, time, space. Mm-hmm. Like the De La Vega Lab is amazing. You can't get more students in there to experience the, because we've done camps in there mm-hmm. before, and there's something about being in that space that is very inspiring as mm-hmm. well. How do you replicate that if you take it out of the space? Yep. Can you still get some of the goals that you're hoping to get?
Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned the space. It's a very entrepreneurial space. It's soft couches. It is bean bags. It is mobile tables and chairs and whiteboards mm-hmm. and all of that sort of stuff, which is very different and strange for engineers who like rows of tables and a chalkboard at the front so that they can make sure they sit in the back and play their video. I mean, so that they can be highly engaged with the course content. I recall the engineers being like, it's funky to sit here, but I'm not sure if I like it here,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Which is okay. It's one of those features. It's like trying a bio lab. Do I like biology? Do I not like biology? Do mm-hmm. I not like this entrepreneurial space? Do I want it to be this? Do I want to live in a cubicle farm? And some people do. And
right.
That's fine.
But you're seeing more industry turn their conference spaces and their collaboration spaces into what we see in De La Vega. Flexible spaces, mm-hmm. soft seats, lots of whiteboards. you're not seeing as many spaces where, like, that traditional classroom space. The engineering building is a very traditional, not all, like, the labs are labs, but the classrooms are very traditional classrooms. Mm-hmm. And so it's getting them comfortable in these different spaces and being able to say, how do you function in a space like this, where now you've got distractions happening over here and you're in a fishbowl and people are watching, but you've got to stay focused, which is another skill.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I do think the whole co-working idea mm-hmm. is interesting, and it'd be really cool to get, like, the multiple majors actually co-working together. But again, where do we do that?
I think that it's one of those elements that attempts to try to find space is always a challenging issue from a campus standpoint. And part of it is the literal siloing that happens mm-hmm. because this is a departmental space, or this is a college space, or this is a university library space or something like that, that some will try to make it, we're open for everybody. But then if someone doesn't think it's their own space, they're also not going to go mm-hmm. there too. It's the chicken and egg. What's mm-hmm. the appropriate approach for it?
Yeah. What's been some of the student feedback? You've had a few different cohorts of students, and were they game to this at the very beginning? Or wait, what are you trying to make us do? And now that, as you said, you've had a few come back and reflect on it. What are you hearing from students?
From an outside perspective, there is resistance in every workshop, but I love that. Yeah. It truly is getting them, forcing them out of their comfort zone. By the end, that last big event we had in the College of Business, we had the business students and the engineers all eating together in the atrium and talking. So it's, you do see it eventually comes to that nice place of, okay, this will benefit me, but it is very fun to see how much these engineers do not want to participate and they in my funky exercises for them.
And they don't know what they don't know. Yep. Yeah, this is going to be relevant. Mm-hmm. We promise. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's relevant. And what's ironic is that the students that that go through the 3 or 4 or 5 phases, they say, man, I wish I could have done more of this. And that's when we point to a minor that exists in business mm-hmm. that exists, that incorporates numerous elements mm-hmm. but lo and behold, you have to know to do that as an entering junior.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge. You don't get excited about Ideapalooza until you're at your terminal mm-hmm, semesters. Mm-hmm. But then if you really wanted to embed yourself more in it, you need to start earlier. And so I think that's probably where Beck and I probably have the biggest challenge is there a first year Ideapalooza type of exercise that integrates with, STEM Fest or all mm-hmm. of the things within your program that gets the students to be like, oh, I get to touch this a little bit as a first and second year student. I'm going.
They're looking forward to that.
Right.
Yeah. We're already looking forward to senior design because mm-hmm. it's the next step to the end. It's the real world. But I'm looking forward to that aspect mm-hmm. of senior design. And I get to.
Well, now I'm excited.
I know. It's like, okay, how do we do this?
But I'm also cognizant of the population that NIU has. Mm-hmm. Not everyone is in this great 4-year cohort where mm-hmm. they arrive in fall of 2025 and yeah. ready to graduate in May of 2029. Mm-hmm. We are well aware that people come in at different levels, at different paths. Someone's going to transfer in 2 years' time with much of their technical content done from mm-hmm. a community college or another institution. You can't plop them right in and say, hey, do this, because yeah. they're going to be like, well, why?
Yeah. Right. I think engineering students especially, they're very goal-focused. Like, I remember when I was going through my program, it was like you had your eye on the end, you knew where you were going and why, and any deviation from that, it was mm-hmm. like, okay, tell me what the point is, because is that going to prevent me from getting where I need to go in the time that I've allowed myself to get there? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you've got to win them over with the, no, this is going to be, it's going to help you get a job. It's going to help you be better when you get out into the workforce. You're going to trust me. You want to do this.
And maybe that's probably where the biggest part is trust. Mm-hmm. And probably the fun part of Becca and I kind of handing off back and forth in front of the classroom is that toss back and forth of trust is, so this is a mechanical engineering course and we're letting a musician mm-hmm. lead it.
What?
And so for historical context, Becca is a classically trained cellist. I'm fine with it, right? Let creative roll, because maybe it's just too much of a gray beard in me. I recognize that the tendrils that you have initially, or the seeds that you plant, may take some time to germinate. But I'm more than happy to let Becca lead that to see where in the world it kind of goes.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. That goes into the whole like debate of, is this co-curricular? If we were to scale it, should it be mm-hmm. co-curricular? How do we get the buy-in for curricular? And then we could go down the whole rabbit hole of how higher education is at a place where it needs to grow, change, be agile.
Yeah.
And so is something like Ideapalooza a tool or a method for kind of providing our students more of that experiential learning, employability skills-based program?
And I think to piggyback on that, you know, all of our engineering curricula here at NIU is accredited by the, you know, Accreditation Board of Engineering and Engineering Technology, ABET. But what the companies want is, yes, they want an ABET-accredited degree, but really what they want is competencies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could we mm-hmm. literally take a student that walks in the door and says, what competencies do I need in order to be an engineer? And this is one of those kind of core competencies. It may substitute for a finite element analysis or some, you know, in-depth technical competency, but I'm more than willing to bet that numerous companies, when they would look at an NIU graduate, say, oh, which one of those competencies? These are exactly what I need. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pluck you right out mm-hmm. of the resume bin to yep. do it.
The other piece, it goes back to something, Becca, I've heard you say before, is, you know, we're not training our students for the first job. We're training them for the job beyond that. Mm-hmm. And I think about, you know, I graduated 30 years ago, and I think about all the different career paths my classmates from engineering are now in. And many of them go into sales, management. Like, you don't stay in that. You need to have that technical understanding, but you are moving into different areas. So to get that early exposure and be able to think about how the engineer fits within that big system, mm-hmm. like, that's a great way to start looking at the next job yeah. after they graduate, like yep. not the first, but the next and the one after that. And what's the path?
But I'm going to say not only the benefit for the engineer, but the benefit for the business majors yes. that come and see.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to learn so much about their communication.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know if you want to speak to stories, but the post-process stories from your business majors yeah. that we're evaluating, like, were they appalled? Were they excited? Were they just like flummoxed in terms of how things were being pitched?
They were so, I mean, they were surprised by the engineers, but I think what I took away from that is a lot of these business students, oh gosh, should I talk about this? I think they thought that they were better communicators and leaders than maybe they really are in terms of going in and trying to give feedback to these engineers. Coming off a little tough at the beginning, right? And then kind of learning, which is an important skill also, is you have to know from the business side how to work with and collaborate with the technical folks on the team. And just because you balance the financials doesn't mean that you get to like poo-poo an idea. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to learn how to listen and take what like the different project technicalities are. I don't know if that answered that question.
No, I think what you're talking about is the fact that within every idea, there is either a germination of enthusiasm that's there mm-hmm. or solving a problem. And if your view is not necessarily aligned with the person who's trying to pitch it, how do you listen well enough
yep.
to know that it's meeting a need? And ironically, you know, when economies ebb and flow, and depending upon where the economy is, when this podcast happens, when things ebb, if you're not investing and listening to what the next is, then you're going to be lagging when the mm-hmm, growth mm-hmm. continues to happen. And that's where you may need to make a hard decision. And it might not work, but at least is it the thing percolating in the back of your head to know that you're ready to launch when things grow or when that opportunity can be yeah. available.
Well, some of that comes from just being, whether you're engineering or business, the young professionals we deal with, because they're not really professionals yet. The students are still building that mm-hmm. ability to be, you know. I remember, you know, when you're 20, in your 20s, you think you know everything. You think you're doing it the right way. But to have that kind of reality check of, no, you gotta listen to somebody because you just completely smashed their enthusiasm and now mm-hmm. you've just destroyed the team dynamics. That's professional maturity that it's a hard lesson to learn when you already get out into the field. But to be able to kind of get a taste of that here yep. and be able to have the conversations and get the feedback from you guys to say, okay, did you see how you gave that feedback? Did you mm-hmm. see? Did you see the life drain from their eyes? Yeah. The enthusiasm fall on the floor. Let's not do that with our team members when we're giving feedback.
Definitely. I mean, and that goes back to the whole competencies thing. So even if we're saying, okay, you do not need to learn directly about these projects the students are pitching to you, but we want to give you the competencies, the skills of being able to discuss technical projects. And it's kind of so great that students get to experience some of those harder conversations before. And it is real life, right? Like, so it's not just a simulation or a case study. It's no, we're going to put you in front of graduating seniors in the College of Engineering who are doing a sponsored project. You have to know how to strategically provide feedback to get that buy-in, just as the engineers have to strategically pitch to get the buy-in.
Fun stuff. This is awesome.
It's fun. I think the challenge, how do you impact more folks? Mm-hmm, with all of these things, when you get to economy of scale, then do you start to lose some of the personableness that you get? And that, I think, is probably where our balance might be. If I keep referring back to, you know, Lollapalooza, it's really cool when you're a musician and you get to look someone in the eye and you know that you're making a connection, that the music that you're making, you know, affects someone somehow. And mm-hmm. I guess I'll see if you speak to this. What happens when your audience becomes enormous and the lights are so bright and there's suddenly no faces to them anymore, but you're making a lot of money?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, even just thinking about, so if we're thinking Lollapalooza, it's great to be a musician at Lollapalooza, but what if you're the 11 a.m. slot and it's just people are walking past you, you know? So it's how do we scale this program without it just being I am looking for the one band, the one project I'm assigned to go listen to, and I am going to blinders on mm-hmm. all other opportunities for engagement. Because that kind of takes away from the whole point of it, this interdisciplinary approach to learning.
Well, in that same vein, I mean, engineers get very focused on their particular project. Mine is the most important project. It's the most, in the same way as an audience member might go to Lollapalooza. That's mm-hmm. That's the band. But lo and behold, what else am I going to learn mm-hmm. and hear? And now I'm networked, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I'm networked with this other person. Yeah, I've only had two classes with them and they were always in the back corner or the front and that sort of thing. But now I heard about their thing. They're interning or they've already been hired by that company 3, 4, 5 years. Hey, are you still at so-and-so when you're connecting on LinkedIn or whatever kind of mechanism.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed listening to this whole conversation, and especially when we're talking about business and engineering majors, a lot of times they're technical. They have very specific things that they have to do, but this whole conversation with brilliant people has been surrounded around how we work with others still at the end of the day. Like, yes, you need to have those skill sets, but if you can't function with your team members, you will not be successful. And going back to pitching and developing your own skill sets, the amount of people that have to view their own career as a brand, as your own business, and not to be negative about it or to always be looking for improvement, but you need to be ready to know how to position yourself, know where to work and where when you do need to shift because mm-hmm. it isn't working for you or the project or the company may say it's time to move on. And I think so many of our students expect to be like, I'm going to get a job. I'm going to work there. And then when I'm ready, I'm going to leave and I'm going to get paid more. And then I'm going to stay there until I'm ready to leave. And it doesn't always work like that. Though these are the beginning elements of saying stuff's different than maybe what the textbook specifically says.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Like that idea of, okay, we're teaching you to pitch your technical project to different stakeholders, but you should then take that experience and those skills when you're pitching to your partner moving across the country and they just got a great job, or you're pitching.
It's oddly specific. I appreciate it.
Or maybe you're pitching to your boss for a promotion, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, mm-hmm. that is when it comes down to it, those people skills and your connections, your network, how you lead is really how you progress in your career, or how you make an impact on society, really.
Mm-hmm. And so to that end, I want to make sure that I put the network connection that was in here. And so I arrived at this university in 2008. I was landed on an honors committee, you know, working with the serving as observing the honors program at the university. Bart Sharp was a faculty member who helped, and we were on the committee together for numerous years. I get assigned to teach this capstone experience for mechanical engineering. Bart Sharp literally sends an email and says, "Nick, here's Becca. Becca is great. She works at De La Vega. Figure some stuff out."
Man, and that must have been like a month or two into when I started at NIU2, and I was like, oh golly, okay.
It's funny how many of those introductions, yeah. It's like, hey, you two both seem like cool people. You need to talk to each other, and then cool things happen.
Hey, and so that's where I want to advocate for that networking part. Is a faculty in the Department of Management going to authentically help a discipline like mechanical engineering? Again, with that narrow view or a siloed university, no, that's not going to happen. But it opens the doors to say, how could we literally walk between our buildings that have the convenience of being adjacent to one another, but literally break down those walls so that cool things happen?
And then again, kudos to Nick, because it is entrepreneurial that he was willing to take the risk of adding something into his curriculum to engage with a staff member over at the College of Business that started like a month and a half before he was introduced. It's just those are those skills, right? The entrepreneurial mindset, which risk taking, thinking strategically, being creative, being open minded, seeking opportunities around you. So hopefully that's how our students, I'd say we describe this path, this journey to the students each year too. Mm-hmm. So I hope that it kind of leaves them thinking, ah, yes, something can come out of talking to humans outside of the person next to my class.
Well, to have the entrepreneurial club, you know, interacting with the engineers, that I can't remember the phrase on the back of their t-shirt, but it's something along the lines of entrepreneurs. We leap out of the airplane and figure out to find the parachute on our way down, or something along along those lines. It was exactly that. You have this course to teach. There's an opportunity to be entrepreneurial and put it together. We flubbed a little bit, but the benefit of every engineering process is you close that loop. Mm-hmm. What's our correction point that we continue to make on it to spread it out?
But I think it shows that the entrepreneurial mindset is not just for entrepreneurs.
Oh, yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. It benefits no matter what setting you're in to be able to think that way, to see the opportunities, to take advantage of the opportunity, to be a risk taker, knowing it might flub a little bit, but it's okay.
Yeah.
And, like, that is really valuable no matter what field you're in, no matter what you're going to do for the future.
Yeah.
And I think it's good for the students to see you mess up too. Sometimes when you're a first year student and you walk into a big auditorium and the professor speaks, and therefore what is written on the board is authentic and should not be questioned, we mess up. And you know, sometimes it's arithmetic math that you might mess up on, but to mess up in terms of, hey, we thought this was going to work, it didn't, we'll fully admit to it and moving forward.
That's why I tell people I purposely spell everything wrong on the board. It's to bonding.
Yeah.
This has been so much fun. We are recording this right at the beginning of the school year. And so you are just probably getting ready to see what is Ideapalooza 4.
Three.
What's next? Are you guys ready for this year? Anything, any big changes you're going to make? Or
I think really, like, I'd like people to know that if you are I want Nick to, like, really drive this home, is if you are a professor leading a program on campus and you're like, wow, our students could really benefit from the entrepreneurial mindset or engaging across campus, please reach out to us, because if you are entrepreneurial and willing to try out this new program, I think that we're ready to start trying to scale it at this point. Again, workshops about once a month, a big event at the end of the spring semester, which is a great opportunity if you have a capstone project or a final presentation and you want your students to get almost like a dress rehearsal, please reach out to us.
And I think to as many of these things that you can kind of wind the crank and it continues to move forward, what Becca and I have been doing every summer is, well, what's the thing that we're changing and improving? And it's either changing, well, maybe it needs to go in this order, or it could be, who's the guest speaker that's going to kind of engage in this most effectively. And, you know, when it came to some items, I mean, we did pitching very, very early before the projects were complete. And then we've come to the realization, oh, you can't know what you're delivering until the project has, you know, germinated for a little while. And so that's where the kind of course correction is probably the best way I would say it. But it's ready to bring people in to listen. Do you need to listen to what the business model canvas is so that you can have that perspective? Can you change the perspective from the user and what they need instead of, one of the phrases that one of my alumni have come back to is, an engineer can design something extraordinarily, but if it doesn't serve the need, then the kind of joke that they say is, well, your baby's ugly kind of thing. And yes. How do you, in much kinder words that bosses can indicate, maybe this is not as technical and as amazing as it might be, there's not a need for it right now. Mm-hmm. Let's put it on a shelf and let's make people aware of it in the future, but it's not where we need your resources deployed.
Yeah, we talked about that in my solo podcast, right? And so hopefully this experience is also teaching these students about empathy and market research to the extent that they are not getting fully committed to their idea that they've never shared out loud with anybody except for their sketch pad, right? So it's like part of the design process should be engaging with the stakeholders. And so a relatively accessible event, I think, that anybody could show up to is, we will be having a professional communications type workshop this semester, pitching again next, like in the spring. But that would be a great one, professional communications.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and I would also encourage any of our listeners, the Senior Design Showcase Day is open to the public, right?
So, and community members. And anyone can come check it out. Yeah. It's amazing. It's truly amazing to see what they do.
It is incredible. And so usually it's early May.
It's May 1st, 2026.
Oh, wow. That's
May Day.
Yeah. That's awesome. If anybody wants to get in touch with you guys and learn more, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Send a pigeon to
fox them. Shout out to Mel Brooks. Sorry.
I mean, the contact information for me would be on the College of Engineering and Engineering Technology website. If you go to the About or the directory of faculty, that'll be the easiest place to find Nick Pohlman, Pohlman. And email is going to be the easiest mechanism to do it, unless you have this great idea and you want to give me a call. I think there might be a phone number. I'm not sure if the physical phones are no longer in my office, but Teams will ring me up.
Teams will ring everywhere.
If necessary.
Yeah. And then I'd say for me, go to the Innovation Lab's website. So go.niu.edu/innovationlab. That has my contact information, but it also has a calendar of events related to Ideapalooza, but also other workshops. We have a book club that doesn't require any pre-reading.
Experts in residence.
It is truly called Book Talk, the book club for non-book clubbers.
Is it like YouTube club?
No, one person has to read the book and they come and they talk about
collaboration.
This is great.
They talk about the insights. I'm meeting the people where they are, Nick, and we're not requiring any free reading.
What book are you not reading?
What is the book that no one
The first
read?
One is going to be The Lincoln Project, about Abraham Lincoln. Okay. And then I will be doing one on designing your life, which is like using the design thinking process to.
I bought that book. Good. After we talk. I haven't read it yet. So yeah, I'd be perfect for the book club.
You don't have to read it now. Nice. Just come by.
You can show up for the listening club.
Yes.
Well, thank you both for this. Has been so much fun. We're going to have you back, especially as you get into the swing of working with the students this semester and next semester. Mm-hmm. But thank you so much for your time. This was fantastic.
Thank you for having us.
This has been a production of the STEAM Studio. Please make sure you like, subscribe, and leave a review to help others discover our shows. You can listen on platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to this STEAM Spotlight. Thank you to our partners, NIU STEAM and Northern Illinois University, for supporting this podcast. If you would like to learn more about the work we do, please check us out online at niusteam.niu.edu. Thank you so much for listening.